you wish to follow along, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I will read one verse. I hope to get all the way through verse 7 through 15, but we will see how that goes. Let me read as to start with, though. Read verse 7 and follow along with me if you have your Bibles open. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we will notice in the next few verses, he uses the word first in verse 8, and then he uses the word now in verse 13. So I hope to cover those things. My title this morning is this: Thanks to God through Jesus Christ. When Paul says first in verse 8, God is to be thanked through Jesus Christ. When he says now, he is saying this: since God has, I therefore. I then give all thanks to God through Jesus Christ. Man is never the cause. Man is certainly never the source of grace and peace. Ever. Ever. Not a grace and peace that is of any spiritual value. God is the author and the finisher, not only of faith, but all grace and all peace.
Amen.
But since God through Jesus Christ is the source and the cause, then what Paul actually summarizes here is then the gospel desire, that is, the desire to preach the gospel, we have every reason to hope in that in spite of providential hindrances. Never think that the fault is with the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
If the gospel is being preached, whether it be from me, Joe, Paul, other men in this behind this podium or others in other places, if the gospel is being preached, if you are giving testimony to the grace of God in you, you don't have to be a pastor, but you could tell people what God's done for you.
Yes, sir.
And if you can't, then God's not done anything for you. And if you're ashamed to tell someone else what God's done for you, then I hold up a red flag as to whether he has done anything for you. When the gospel is preached, there is nothing that can hinder that. There's nothing that can hinder that. When the gospel is preached, God will make it triumphant. Paul says we preach the gospel. He always causes us to triumph in Christ.
Amen.
Whether it's a dead sinner who hears the gospel, and that gospel is nothing more than death to them, and adds to their judgment and condemnation. God's designs have been carried out. Or whether it's a sinner made alive by God, and they hear that gospel of life, then God's designs are being carried out.
Amen.
Now, years ago, my pastor and your pastor, Earl Cochran, especially when I was a young man, I was 23, 24 years old, somewhere around 85, 86, 87. And I was young and brash, had begun to learn a little doctrine. I believe I knew Christ, but was young and brash. He told me, took me to the side one time and told me, when you use words and when you preach the gospel to people, he said, don't suspect that everybody knows what you're talking about, even if you've been preaching to them for years and years and years. Having said that, I want to give you a word. I know everyone here has heard the word. Many who may hear me in some other venue, you may have heard this word. But I want to explain it to you so there's no misunderstanding. Actually, there's two words. Here's the first one: exegetical. Now, as Earl told me, we preachers love to use words. And rightfully so. That's all we have to use. but we must condescend to men of low estate. Exegetical. What does that mean? That's the question. What does it mean? It means to evaluate seriously the meaning of words, phrases, and language. It is critical explanation. Now, not explanation criticizing, but it is critical explanation. In other words, when it comes to this book, what did this writer or that writer, but we're looking at Paul right now, what does the writer mean?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Exactly.
The writer meant exactly what he wrote.
Yes, sir.
And now, while there are some of us that there may be certain words that we don't understand here. We may have to go look it up, may have to get a concordance or a dictionary or ask someone else. These writers meant exactly what they said, what they wrote.
Yes, sir.
Our problem is that ego gets in the way.
Yes.
We want to read into what these men wrote, what we already have preconceived up here and in here. So again, exegetical means to evaluate seriously the meaning of words, phrases, and language. This Bible is not just a general rule book. It is absolute.
Yes.
It is absolute. When Paul said to all that be in Rome, he meant to all that be in Rome.
Exactly.
As I asked the question last week, does all always mean all? Yes. Now, I have heard that question and answered it myself with, well, no, all don't always mean all. Yes, it does. All always means all. But that does not mean that the word all cannot have a limitation or a qualification put with it. And there are preachers who have argued that when you see the word all in the Bible, it has to mean all. Well, of course it does. And then they accuse the Calvinist of always qualifying. Well, let me tell you, if I qualify at all that the writer didn't qualify, I'm in error.
Yeah, that's right.
But if I don't qualify at all where the writer qualified the all, I'm in error.
Exactly.
To all that be in Rome, beloved of God.
Amen.
Of course, the world automatically says, well, God loves everybody. So this is to every individual that's in the city of Rome. But then it goes on to say, called to be saints. Now we're qualifying even further.
Amen.
First of all, God does not love everyone.
Exactly.
This book says so.
That's right.
I had a fellow come in my shop the other day, used to come quite often. It was always telling me and the other people there, God loves you, God loves you. Well, I finally had a bellyful of it, and I started quoting him to the scripture. He said, oh, that is in the Bible, ain't it? He hadn't been in my shop for a while. All I did was quote to him what the book said. It said, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. So there's at least one person God don't love. And we could go further. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. He does not write to all that be in Rome, and to those who are beloved of God, and to those who are called to be saints. That may include a lot of other people. But he says, to all that be in Rome, now he's qualifying it.
Exactly.
Now he's letting us know exactly who this all he's writing to is. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now, if you're beloved of God here this morning and called to be saints, Paul did not write that to you. He wrote it to them in Rome. But this truth is for all of God's people.
Yes, sir.
He wrote it to all that be in Rome, not to all that be in Crow, West Virginia.
That's right.
Do you understand what I'm saying here now? Now, here's the second word. I gave this one to you last week. Religiopath. Religiopath. Now we'll stop on this. Do you know what that really means? I read to you it's come from the Urban Dictionary. I have no idea what that is, But what little bit I read about it online, they're a bunch of God haters who do not bow to the authority of Jesus Christ in their heart and mind, but they do whether they understand it or not.
Exactly.
And they love that. After this quote, I'll give you the quote of what the meaning of the word religiopath is. It had a little footnote. Take note that you read it here first. Bragging on themselves. Religiopath, what does that mean? Over-the-top religious type. Credits God, /Jesus, /Allah, /Vishnu, etc., etc., for everything right, but doesn't blame him or them for anything wrong. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But then notice, it says, incapable of free thought, operates per a user manual called the Bible, but they did not put /Talmud, or /Quran, right? But why? Because here they're getting down, they're telling you what they really don't like, the Bible. The Bible. Now let me go back to maybe someone who helps take care of the urban dictionary will hear this. Over the top religious type. Well, that is me.
Yeah.
That is me. Credits God and rejects all these others. Because I am that over the top.
Yeah, exactly.
I bow down to God in Christ and I reject Allah, Vishnu, and all the rest. They are figments of men and women's imaginations. They are idolatry. So I guess I'm even over the top from the over the top. Credits God for everything that is right, but does not blame him for anything that is wrong. That's not quite true. I credit him for everything that's right and wrong. But I blame him for nothing.
Exactly.
Because he's fixed it where I can't. He is in absolute sovereign control of the worst creature that ever walked the face of the earth. He's as much control of that creature as he is the most beautiful, vibrant, loving creature that ever walked the face of the earth. And he manipulates both creatures to hoard his own wise, sovereign purpose and design. I credit him for everything. And I can blame him for nothing.
Amen.
And if you don't like that, tough. Put that in your dictionary. Down in Crow, West Virginia is an ultra religiopath. Now having said that, I go back to all that be in Rome. Only an egotistical man-centered religiopath. Boy, ain't that a mouthful. But now you know what... Wait a minute. What about egotistical? What is ego? What is ego? Ego is me. 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 Ego is I. As a matter of fact, and I hope that... I seen... ego crushed already today on 3 or 4 occasions. And one of them was mine. That's right. Crushed. Ego crushed by another person that had an ego. Crushed. And you know how you can find, you know how you can know when your ego's been crushed? When you pout.
There you go.
I don't care if it's another fallen worm, but if God uses that fallen worm to crush your ego still deserves to be crushed. I don't care if it was another fallen worm he used to do it. However, I've left the meaning, I've left my phrase, I'm talking about us now. Me, 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 you, you, you. Ego is me, me, me. And when we get our ego crushed, we do two things. We pout or we lash out. Until God subdues us by grace. And we then either shut up or we start moving away from me, 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 and say, well, that needed to be crushed. It took me 35, 40 minutes this morning before finally every particle of ego that was crying out in pity finally said, enough's enough, Walter. Quit being spiritually stupid. Your ego needs to be crushed no matter when, what, or by whom. Now, is that a good enough lesson for us this morning on ego? But let me get back to all. This phrase, to all. I'm not going to get through verses 8 through 15. Only an egotistical, man-centered. Because I'm going to tell you something. Now, listen, I'm not bragging about us. I'm talking about the grace of God's manifest in this place. Here's a small group of people that want to hear Jesus Christ honored and extolled all the time. We don't always get that done, but that's what we want. That's what we strive for. And if people want to call me a religiopath because of it, so be it. I don't care. I've been called a whole lot worse than that. Only an egotistical, man-centered religiopath would take to all, the word to all, and say that it can never have any limitation and to deny any qualification. Such a person of that is spiritually and exegetically dishonest.
Yes, sir.
They are a liar.
Exactly.
A liar. Let me give you just a few examples. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Now, I'm not saying there's not someone out there that's just so hateful toward God in an overt way that they would not argue with anything I say here. There's some people that don't, you know, it doesn't matter what this book says, they go reject it just because this book says it.
Right.
They are the people who wrote and are like the people who wrote the Urban Dictionary. Now, if we start getting lawsuits, then y'all feed me when they put me in prison. You know, bring me stuff that you can bring that's legal. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable. If you have a side note there, you may see that they say that in the Greek means absurd. Unreasonable and wicked men. There are some unreasonable and wicked men in this world.
Yes, sir.
They're absurd. If you catch them in their lie, they will refuse to acknowledge it no matter what. They'll do that in the religious world with religious material or anything else for that matter. There are some people who are unreasonable and wicked. I think they're probably of that ilk that Luke spoke of. Remember the certain men of the baser sort.
There you go. Yeah.
The baser sort. Look, that we may be delivered from unreasonable wicked men, for nobody has faith. Is that what that reads? But if you want to take all to never have any limitation, then look, for all men have not faith.
Exactly.
Is Paul saying then nobody has faith? That's an all used in the negative, right? For all men have not faith. So is Paul then saying nobody's got faith? Of course not. Read to whom he wrote.
Exactly.
People with faith. What is he saying? He's saying not everybody has faith.
Amen.
Isn't that simple enough? The only person who would argue with that is, as I said, that man-centered, egotistical religiopath that hates the truth of God so much that they will twist the Scripture no matter what. Let me give you another passage, John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me, does he mean all or not?
Yeah,
he means all. All, always means all.
Yes, sir.
So if anybody ever asks you, well, don't you believe all means all? Don't think you're going to give in to them. Say yes. Because all, always means all.
But all can be limited or qualified.
Exactly.
But see, even our own egos as believers, we know here's some free willer. Don't you believe all means all? And the first thing we go, no, of course I don't. Well, you're an idiot.
That's idiocy. Immediately you put them to where they've done won the upper hand. Because you're defending your system, not the truth of God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Amen.
There's your qualification.
Yes, sir.
If you are one of the all that are given, what's going to happen? You're going to come to Christ.
Amen.
Now, isn't that what he said? And it's qualified. Now, he's not done yet. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing.
Yeah.
Now, does all mean all there? You bet your bottom dollar it does. You better hope it does. Because
yeah.
If it means all except for one individual, you might be that individual.
Amen.
You better hope to God all means all. But look, and this is the Father's will that which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone, that's all again, right? That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him, there's your qualification.
Yes, sir.
You see it?
Right.
And believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Jews murmured. And they didn't even get it yet. They said, well, he said he's the bread from heaven. They were so angry at what he'd said a few moments before, they couldn't even concentrate on what he's saying now.
Exactly.
Do you get that? He previously said, I'm the bread from heaven. They're still fuming over that one. They ain't even got to this one yet.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? They murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then? He saith, I came down from heaven. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. And he didn't go back to explain what he said about the bread from heaven. He kept on hammering on this one. Look, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets. He refers back to what? This book.
Yes, sir.
It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Now, does all mean all? You bet you it means all. You bet you it means all. But what is it? And they shall all be taught of God. Now, sometime go back and read Isaiah 54 and find that verse. You know what it says? And all thy children shall be taught of God. But the sovereign King of heaven and earth left that one out.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he? But he's still saying the same truth.
Yes, sir.
It is written in the prophets, and they are his children.
Amen.
And they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and learned of the Father, cometh unto me.
Amen.
Do not ever fear saying exactly what this book says.
Right.
That's not going to win over everyone. But you will have at least told them the truth and cleared yourself from their blood.
Exactly.
But if you're just trying to defend your system, you will not only not be clear of their blood, they will defeat you.
Yeah.
I've been there before. I've tried to defend the system. Mason, it don't work.
Yeah.
It don't work. Now, let me go back to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Did not Paul go on to say, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout... Uh-oh. Wait a minute. The whole world? Paul could not have been inspired here. Did the Aztecs hear of the Roman believers? Huh? Now, again, you want to go out here and you want to argue with the people at Walmart about this? All you'll do is this. Argue.
Yeah, right.
And you won't prove your point?
Yeah.
And they won't prove their point back and forth to one another. But what's the whole world he's talking about? The whole world that's heard this gospel. Somebody who hadn't ever heard the gospel could care less about somebody that believes the gospel.
You're right.
Right? Now let's go on. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. And if you try to serve God anywhere other than in the gospel of his Son, you're not serving God.
Amen.
If you give $10 to a person that's in need, because they need $10, and you do it just to give them $10, you ain't served God. You have your reward. You have your reward. They may say thank you. They may turn their back on you. That's all you got. Without ceasing, making mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. To the end, you may be what? Here it is. Established.
There you go.
Established. Oh, I pray God that this small group of people is established. Well, why should I? I mean, I know this gospel. I could stay home and read the Bible. I could watch it on TV. You gather together to be established. Because if you're by yourself, that's all you have is by yourself. And when the enemy comes, you will face the enemy how? By yourself. And you can't do it. You can't do it. Look, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, mutual faith does not mean we all got faith, and it varies a little, but at least we got some kind of faith. No, that's why he calls it mutual faith.
Yes.
Why didn't he just say faith, Joe? Because there's all kinds of other faiths. Somebody, you know the phrase. Well, we're all shooting for the same goal. No, we're not. We're all seeking to go to the same place. No, we're not. Some of us are seeking Christ.
Exactly.
Others are seeking places.
Yeah.
My question as I sum this up, which are you?
Yeah.
Which am I? Am I seeking a place, a thing, or am I seeking a person?
Yeah.
Father, continue to conquer our souls through the gospel of your Son. Amen.